Reading this morning is from Colossians 3, verses 12 through 14. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. This is the word of God.
You know, one of life's unavoidable realities is this. None of us makes it through life without having to sometime walk through that door of forgiveness. Have you had to walk through that door sometimes? Every one of us has to and sometimes regrets having had to walk through that door of forgiveness. Sometimes we are the one who needs forgiveness. We've failed someone in a deep and profound way. We've hurt someone. We know it. We can ignore it or blame someone else, but in our hearts, we know we need to ask for forgiveness. Now, sometimes it's not we who hurt, but rather we who have been hurt also. We trusted someone, but they broke our heart. We needed someone, but they let us down. Sometimes we're openly bitter about these issues. Sometimes we know how bad we've been hurt, and other times we repress our feelings and as if that will make the pain go away. But the truth is, we're harboring unforgiveness in our hearts sometimes. So whether we are the one who needs to be forgiven or the one who needs to ask forgiveness, forgiveness is just simply a fact of life. And sometimes we're a different kind of person. We have people in our lives who we know need to face the issue of forgiveness. We know they need to ask it of someone or they need to request it of someone. And these describe all of us at one point in our lives. And so these words from the Apostle Paul speak directly to our situation. The irony of what Paul writes in this letter here is that while Paul was telling people you need to learn how to forgive, he was trying to work that out in his own life even as he was trying to tell them. You see, there was a guy whose name was Tychicus, that's the way I say it anyway, who was with the Apostle Paul. He was carrying this letter to a church in a little town of Colossae. That's why the letter is called Colossians. Now, when Tychicus was on his way towards the Colossian people, he had with him a companion, a man who was with him, no doubt, with fear and trembling. This man, traveling with Tychicus, was on his own mission of forgiveness. His name was Onesimus. Isn't that a... Can you say Onesimus? Yeah, it's a strange name, Onesimus. Believe it or not, it means useful, and it was a fairly common name for slaves who were treated much like chattel that time. Anyway, just call him useful, you know. So his name was useful. Onesimus was his name. But he had not been very useful to his master, and this is why he was on a mission of forgiveness. We're going to take a look at that today as we think about Onesimus's mission of forgiveness and what forgiveness might mean for us. So that's what I want you to think about in the few moments we have. We'll consider it very briefly under three headings today. First of all, the need for forgiveness. Secondly, the appeal for forgiveness. And finally, the foundation for forgiveness. The need, the appeal, and the foundation. And one of the things we learn here at Cowboy Church is the wind always blows, and we always remember that the word for the Bible, for the Spirit, is the word wind. So we always say the Spirit's moving when I'm shuffling for papers, okay? So let's consider, first of all, the need for forgiveness. The simple fact of the matter is this. We live in a world where people get hurt. It's sad, but it's true. We can't pretend that it's not true. Sometimes this happens on a horrific scale, such as those terrible acts of violence that took place in our schools in the last few decades. You know what I mean. All I need to do is mention the words Columbine or Sandy Hook or Virginia Tech or a rural Amish community, and you know exactly what I mean, evoking images of pain and suffering, tragic things. Sometimes it happens in a large scale, but it also happens on a very small scale without headlines, when our own lives go through tragedy. We are a culture of people who, despite the fact we wish we didn't, we hurt one another. It doesn't always happen on a grand scale, but it happens on a small scale in our communities, in our families, in our workplaces. We tend to hurt people. Often we don't mean to, but sometimes we do. We hide this truth even for ourselves. We say, I didn't mean any harm, but we really did. If we're really honest about it, we really meant to hurt that person. Or we hoped no one would get hurt, but we know in our hearts that it might happen. So whether conscious or not, we've acted in ways that are harmful to other people. Happens all the time when marriages fall apart. Happens all the time. Parents don't mean to hurt their kids, but they do. You know, they just do. Yeah, and very rarely are they willing to admit that to themselves. That's just one example among many. When we hurt people, we don't mean to, but we just do. But it's not just that we sometimes hurt people. Other people hurt us. This is easier for us to see. I don't have to give you examples. We all know we've been hurt by other people. Maybe it's a coworker or a boss or a friend or a husband or a wife or a parent or a family member or whatever. Hurt just seems to happen. Whatever it was, however it happened, we've gotten hurt, and that hurt can go very deep. Yeah, it'd be nice if we lived in a world where hurt never happened, but the simple fact is hurts happen, and the question is, what are we going to do when we hurt or get hurt by people? How will we deal with that? Often, when we've been hurt, we retaliate. We say, if he hurt me, I'm going to hurt him. If she hurt me, I'm going to hurt her. Or we can become bitter. We can pretend that we're not hurt, you know. Or we can forgive. What I want to recommend to you today, as you think about the hurts that you've experienced or that you know are there in your life, learn to walk this path of forgiveness. It's the path of deep, deep love. So when the Apostle Paul is telling these people how to make their lives better, he reminds them, make sure that you take time to forgive others. That's why he says in the text that Amos read for you, if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must forgive. Now, like I said, Paul was facing this very problem right now in his own situation. See, when Paul wrote this letter, he was in prison, okay? And while he was in prison, somehow he came in contact with this man whose name was useful, Onesimus. Somewhere in the course of his relationship with this man named Onesimus, Onesimus became a follower of Jesus. Onesimus became a devoted follower of Jesus and a faithful servant to Paul. All that would be great, except that Onesimus was hiding a skeleton in his closet. He was a runaway slave. In fact, he had stolen money from his master and had run away and was on the loose. He came into contact with Paul. He became a Christian, but he was also a runaway slave. What made it even worse, if you can imagine this conversation, the Apostle Paul actually knew Onesimus's former owner. His name was Philemon. So here he is. He's a runaway slave. And as it turns out, not only is he a runaway slave who's now a follower of Jesus, it turns out that Paul is a good friend of the guy who used to own him. In fact, not only did Paul lead Onesimus to Christ, Paul also led Philemon to Christ. And so Paul's writing a letter to this church in the town of Colossae, and one of the prominent members of that church is this man named Onesimus. In fact, the church, one of the gatherings, either meets in his home or his son's home, okay? So the Apostle Paul has to figure out, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? Now, Paul is writing this letter to this church at Colossae. What's he going to do? Is he going to tell Onesimus to go back? Or should he let bygones be bygones? What does it mean for him to be a follower of Jesus in that situation? Sometimes following Jesus is not very convenient, right? It's just not. If you want a convenient faith, find another one, because it's just not. Marriage is not very convenient, is it? But if you want to have a good one, you better make the sacrifice. And following Jesus can be an inconvenient thing, you know? And so what's he going to do? Now, consider the consequences, potentially, to Onesimus if he goes back. He has committed what could be considered a capital offense. Philemon would have the right even to have him killed for his crime of thievery and of running away. Now, Onesimus was not a believer when he ran away, but he is now. What does he do about that? Should he let the past stay buried? What is Paul going to do? Well, we find out when we consider, secondly, not just the need for forgiveness, but secondly, the appeal for forgiveness. That's the second part of our talk today. It was obviously a difficult situation for Paul, but clearly he had made up his mind. If Onesimus was going to be serious about following Jesus, he would need to face up to his master and accept the consequences of asking for his forgiveness. Now, this is no light matter, as you know, for Onesimus. He could lose his life over this. It was a very dangerous mission. So the Apostle Paul wrote a special letter to go along with Onesimus. And in fact, that letter is recorded for us in the Bible. It's a little letter called Philemon, because that's the guy to whom it was written. So Philemon really should be printed in your Bible right next to the letter of Colossians. They just put it later because it's so small. So along with this letter to the Colossians, which says, whatever has been done, forgive, the Apostle Paul knows there's one guy in that church who really needs to hear that message, Philemon, the highly respected, possibly even the pastor of that church. We don't know for sure, but highly respected. He's got to figure out what does it mean for him, okay? So can you imagine what it must have felt like for Onesimus to show up at Colossae with a letter in hand? Yeah, that letter is recorded for us. It's only a 24-verse book. It's found at the very end of your Bible, near the book of Hebrews in your Bible. And someday at our church, we'll study it in detail. But for now, I just want to simply summarize the contents of that letter for you. When Paul writes that letter to Philemon, he says basically this, just paraphrasing what he said. He says, Philemon, we've known each other a long time. Remember, I was the one that introduced you to Christ. I'm proud and thankful to see what a great follower of Jesus you have become. I hear good reports about you. That's why, although I could demand it of you, I would rather appeal to your conscience. Onesimus, who stole from you and ran from you, found himself by God's grace under my influence. Onesimus is now a follower of Jesus, just like you are. Because of that, he's become very valuable to me as a servant here in prison. I'd love to keep him here, but I know he must make amends with you if he is to be a follower of Christ. Now, I know you have the right to do whatever you want to him, but I will make this appeal to you. And here I quote, receive him as you would me. Close quote. Onesimus, Paul says, left you as a slave, but now he returns to you as a brother in Christ. I know I can count on you to do this, and even more than this, I look forward to seeing you again when I am released from prison. Keep a bed ready for me. God bless you, Paul. That's basically the letter that he writes to him in his own style. You can read it, the book of Philemon. It may be hard to fathom this, but Paul was not only putting Onesimus in a difficult spot, he was putting Philemon in a really difficult spot. What if all masters forgave all their slaves whenever they left? You see the cultural problems? Slavery was a huge issue in those days. And in fact, this is one of the most prominent anti-slavery words in the Bible all by itself. Because when Paul is saying to Philemon, treat him like your brother, can you imagine what kind of a change that makes for him? Philemon, too, had to make some very difficult concessions if he was going to accept. And you see, forgiveness is always costly. That's why we don't like to talk about it. I could have talked about something less important, but I wanted to talk to you about something really important. Forgiveness is so important, and yet it is costly. It's always difficult, always painful. Whether we're the offended or the offender, it always hurts. Philemon has a difficult choice to make as well. And we see that the message of the gospel always forces us to be a little bit out of step with current culture. If you step so closely with current culture, chances are you're not following the beat of the Jesus drum as well as you should. And if Philemon accepted Onesimus, and in fact, as this letter seems to indicate, that Paul hints he's going to set him free. He doesn't say it, but it seems like he's suggesting that to him. If Philemon considers that, he is not only making a personal sacrifice, but others will see what he has done. Other slaves will see what he's done. Other slave owners will see what he has done and how he's going to work it out. You see, the gospel always makes your life a little bit difficult. So forgiveness is not just hard for those who need to ask for it. it's also those who need to give to it. And so let's talk then finally, as we sort of close this little talk out, about the foundation for forgiveness. The Apostle Paul says something really important in this little text. He says to him, forgive one another, bearing with another, and if anyone has a complaint against each other, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. The Bible teaches us that our standard for forgiveness is nothing less than the forgiveness which is ours in Christ. You know, this is a common theme in the Scriptures. Even the Lord's Prayer says, Lord, forgive us as we forgive those who trespass against us. You know that? Forgiveness is such an important thing for us to remember in our lives. You see, a failure to forgive or to seek forgiveness is really a failure to understand God's forgiving love for us. We need to see how much God has forgiven us. Have you ever thought about what it cost God to forgive us? He gave his very life for us. He became one of us. He was willing to submit to all kinds of abuse from us, but he did it because of his love for us. You see, it is not so much that we go to ask for forgiveness because of others' needs, but because of our response to what Jesus has done for us. And so I want you to think for a moment as we kind of close here that Christian forgiveness is rooted in the forgiveness that we received from God. I could tell you many stories about forgiveness. I've found that as a pastor, when I talk one-on-one with people and they're struggling, very often the thing that cuts the deepest for them is this issue of forgiveness. They've had a hurt which has been wounded deeply in their hearts, and it's affected them, and they don't know how to forgive God or others or whatever. They can't get past it. Or they've done something so shameful, so awful, that they just can never really feel forgiven. I have good news for you. God fully forgives every one of you, every one of us. God has paid the debt for your life by giving his life in exchange for yours. He offers to you free and full forgiveness. I encourage you to forgive others, not just because it will make others' lives better, but because God has forgiven you. You know, that's why when we sang that song, Amazing Grace, a little bit, my God, my Savior has rescued me. He shut the door on death and the grave. Amazing love, amazing grace. That's one reason we get together for church, when we come together for worship. We come together so that we can remember this great story about a God who loves and forgives. You know, I want to encourage you as we close out to think about a couple of things. One is this: have I ever received God's forgiveness in my life? Have I ever received God's forgiveness in my life? The Bible says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. There is no condemnation. Please, you do not need to feel guilty or condemned for things that have happened in your life. Receive God's forgiveness. Simply respond to his love. See him on that cross giving his life for you. See him rising from the grave, giving to you new life because of his life. Respond to his love. And the other thing I would suggest to you is think about your own life. Some of you, when I say forgiveness, you get a wince in your gut because you know how you've been hurt. And it's hard. I don't want to minimize that at all. But I ask you, step on the path toward forgiveness. It's so important. First, begin by receiving Christ's forgiveness, and then learn to forgive those who've hurt you. One of the difficult lessons for me to learn was that, there were some people, important people to me, that I needed to forgive. And for a long time, even as a pastor, I thought, of course I'll forgive them as soon as they ask. All they have to do is ask. You know what that is. You all laugh because you know that feeling. No, the forgiveness starts in your heart first. The benefit gets to them when they ask, but it comes to you when you forgive. If they never ask, you still need to walk the path of forgiveness. And when I learned that, I was a little upset at first because I was waiting for this significant person to take the step. And I felt very holy for doing it. And I was very nice to him in the meantime, but I was waiting. And I had to let that go. Because God forgave me before I ever asked him to do it. Right? He gave me that forgiveness. It's already there for me. It becomes my blessing when I ask for it, but it's always been his offering, you see? In the same way, be set free. Face it, feel it, express it, and let it go. And if you've harmed someone, I want to ask you, will you consider going to the person whom you have hurt and say, you may not know this, but I want to ask your forgiveness. Yeah. I'm not saying that would be easy. I'm not saying that at all. But it would be a blessed thing. Because when the Bible speaks about love, it speaks about forgiveness. You cannot love if you're not willing to forgive, you see. Over all these things, he said, as we close out, put on love, which binds them together in perfect unity. Yeah, the great act of love is an act of forgiveness. Jesus himself said, greater love has no one than this, but that a man lay down his life for his friends. Jesus has laid down his life for us. Let us be people who forgive others. As we close our time together, we're going to have the elements here, a bread and cup, and we invite anyone who wishes to share in the Lord's Supper. We'll have them around here together. It's open to anybody who wants to. The bread represents Christ's body broken for us. The cup represents his blood spilled for us. We invite you to simply serve yourself the bread and the cup. There's Donna, where else are they going to be? Do we know? Carol, over here to that side, and one. There's three. One back there. Oh, and where's the fourth one? So feel free to serve yourself, and I'd like to invite you, if you would, to go ahead and just serve yourself after I say a brief prayer, and then just come back to your seats, and you can have a seat, and then I will lead you as we take together. If you don't want to share in the Lord's Supper, please don't feel any obligation. Well, this is for those who want to be followers of Christ, and we don't want to make anybody do anything they're not ready to do, okay? But this is God's invitation to you. Let's have prayer. Father, we want to thank you so much for your gift of forgiveness to us. We pray that you would help us to embrace it fully and then to give it freely. For Jesus himself said, freely you have received, freely give. Some of us have had some really deep hurts happen to us. I'm not trying to minimize that at all. But I do pray that you'd bring healing as we learn how to forgive, even as Jesus has forgiven us. As we take these elements, may we do so, realizing that you practiced what we are preaching today. Help us to see its wonder and glory and to be changed by it in Jesus' name.